We come to a time when I want to share what God's laid on my heart for you as a fellowship and also as individuals. And I've called it Breaching Barriers. I think that a number of you may know, if not all of you, that one of the things that I am or enjoy doing is travelling down the canals. At one time, we used to part owner a narrow boat, and we used to spend quite a bit of time on the boat travelling around the canal system. And it's a time of relaxation, it's a time of connecting with nature. There's some beautiful scenery, some beautiful canals that are around. And on one occasion, we were heading towards a certain destination, and we were travelling down this canal, and we'd moored up overnight. And that night, a bit like the other night, it had been very, very windy. And we started off the next morning to continue on our journey to the destination that we had in mind when we came round a particular curve in the canal, and there in front of us was a barrier. The barrier was in the form of a fallen tree. This tree had been blown down in the wind, and it had literally fallen right across the canal. It was not a little sapling, it was a very mature tree, and literally it was immovable. It wasn't a case of getting off the boat and just being able to move it out of the way. So we came to a complete halt, and we were unable to go anywhere until that barrier had been removed. You know, in our lives, as we seek to advance in our own spiritual walk, and indeed as churches seek to advance in their march into the destiny that God has for them, we discover that it's so easy for the enemy to create barriers. It creates those moments in our lives when suddenly we find that we can't advance anymore. What sort of barriers am I talking about? Well, there can be the barrier of unforgiveness. There can be the barrier of disunity. There can be the barrier of resentment, the barrier of bitterness. There can be the barrier of disobedience. There can be the barrier of certain destructive habits. Things that suddenly either encroach upon our lives or encroach within the life of a church, and immediately they become blockages to us. Immediately they stop us going forward. We recognize until they are dealt with, there is no way in which we can advance. And maybe for some of you, you are immediately aware now of certain barriers in your own life as you've sought to progress spiritually, where you've come up against something which you've been struggling with and seeking to deal with and seeking to overcome, and yet it continues to remain stubbornly in place. I want us to look at a familiar story that we find in the book of Joshua. And I'm sure you'll recognize it when I mention the name Jericho. And this is what we read from the New Living Translation. Now, the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, "I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its mighty warriors. Your entire army is to march around the city once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the horns, have all the people give a mighty shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the people can charge straight into the city." So Joshua called together the priests and said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of each, carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, 'March around the city, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord.' After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. and the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed behind them. Armed guards marched both in front of the priests and behind the Ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. "Do not shout, do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout." So the Ark of the Lord was carried around the camp once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the Ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Armed guards marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the Ark of the Lord. All this time the priests were sounding their horns. On the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the city as they had done before, but this time they went around the city 7 times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And we know that that moment the walls collapsed. There are some keys that we can discover here that will help us in our journey of faith, in our advancement spiritually, both individually and corporately as a church. And the first thing that we discover if we're going to breach barriers in our lives is that we need to rely on the promises that God gives. Right at the outset, God comes to Joshua and says to Joshua, "Joshua, I want you to know that I've given you this city." We need to understand that at that moment in time, the barrier still stood there immovable. At that time, there still appeared to be no answer to the obstacle that lay before the people. But here was a word that came from God, spoken into Joshua's life and into the life of the people of God at that moment, with God saying, "I want you to know that this barrier that there is before you is going to come down. This barrier is going to be breached because I am the one that promises that that will happen." And for some of you, you need to understand the key to you breaching the barrier in your life begins with you taking hold of the promise that God may have given to you. A promise that may have been spoken to you by someone who has been seeking to encourage you or help you, or a promise that you have come across in the Word of God. It's important to know the Word of God is the voice of God. And that what God says in His Word is something that we can take as a guarantee. A guarantee that what He says, He will do. So for instance, when God says in His Word, Paul speaking, "But my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus," that is a promise. When he says again that we are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that is a promise. When James writes and says, "Those who ask for wisdom shall receive it," that is a promise. When he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths," that is a promise. When he says that we have confidence that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, that is a promise. And so for some of you, the key to you beginning to breach the barrier is to hold on to the promise. The promise is given and it is not dependent on you seeing at that point anything happening. It's not dependent on you seeing at that point the breakthrough coming. That is for later on. The promise is simply you saying, by faith, I receive that promise. Which is why this particular incident is referred to in Hebrews 11, where it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. So be encouraged. If you've got a promise that tells you that a barrier in your life is going to be breached, then hold on to it. But the second thing that we see as we look at this story together is that following the promise, there comes a plan. And what an unusual plan it is. Who would have thought that this was the way to breach the barrier? To have a command and a plan given that says, right, Joshua, this is what you've got to do. Once a day, for 6 days, you and the people are to march around the city. God says in what way they're to do that. He gives instructions regarding the way in which they are to march, what's the involvement going to be, who is in what place. And he goes on to say, and then on the seventh day, you are to march round 7 times. The end of the seventh point of marching is when you then give a shout. See, we can all have great plans. And it's very easy for us when we are facing obstacles or barriers in our lives, in our circumstances, or in the church, that we immediately go into overdrive to come up with a plan. I, as a church leader, know so well how it's so easy for me when I was leading the churches I was leading to try and fathom out from a human perspective the plan that would bring about the answer to the problem that I saw. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to use our brains or our minds and indeed give consideration and thought to how we might overcome. But at the same time, what we must not do is fall into the trap of putting everything into the position where we consider that only our human perspective is needed here. We also need to recognize alongside that human perspective, we have to have a sense of hearing what God has to say. To hearing what the plan might be as far as God is concerned. Because you see, sometimes his plan will not seem to make sense. His plan will seem to be very, very unusual. Rather peculiar. It could raise all sorts of questions. How on earth is this going to bring about the breakthrough that I'm looking for? But we need to also understand that only if we are obedient to his plan will the breakthrough come. And I learned at my own cost. There have been times when I've tried to implement plans for breakthrough in my own life without sensing and seeking what God is saying. And although the plans to me to seem to be very good and seem to be the answer I was looking for, I discovered that it was an impossible situation that I could not break through. But when I then received God's guidance and direction, I suddenly saw breakthrough coming. So have you listened to what God has had to say to you? If you have a barrier that you are seeking to break through, and you've had the promise, have you said, God, how do I do this? What action do I need to take in order that I might see breakthrough? Just this week, I received a text from a church leader who's going through quite a difficult time within his church situation. And as I read his text, I, at that moment in time, literally at that moment in time, was looking at another battle, which I'm going to be speaking about at Ashendon next week, which was the battle that Jehoshaphat faced. And in this particular instance, it was a total set of different instructions that God gives. But there was a particular verse that was there that says, you only need to stand still, for the Lord will fight this battle. And as I received this text, I really felt suddenly in my own mind and heart, do you know, I really feel this is a word for this leader. So I text back and I said, I want you to know that I was reading this passage and this is what I felt was a word for you. So I texted it to him. Very quickly, I got a response back with the words, wow. He went on to say, Dave, just 2 days ago, God gave me that verse. And I've been standing on that verse for these last 2 days, even as the situation has continued to deteriorate. And now to receive you confirming that verse has just been such an encouragement. You see, God's plan is important. And that's why we need to hear it. And we need to listen for his voice. That was the big mistake that Satan made. Because when God put in motion the plan to sacrifice his son, Satan did not see the outcome of the consequences of allowing Jesus to die and to rise again. For at that point when Satan thought that he had won, it was to the point when his kingdom was destroyed. But that plan was a plan that was formed in heaven, and that plan brought about the salvation for you and for me. And then we go on to see that we need to recognize that once we've received the plan, then we have to prepare the way, understanding that we are partnering with God. See, God had been very explicit on how this was to be done. And it raises a number of points. One of the points that struck me, see, in case you haven't noticed this, I'm a man of many words. Sometimes Moyen tells me too many words, but I'm fairly comfortable with words. I'm not necessarily particularly comfortable with silence. And so my immediate thought was, what would it have been like being in this group of people, marching around the city, your friend next to you, doing what you were told to do, possibly not even understanding why you were doing it, but realizing that that's what your leader says you've got to do because that's what God has said. But you're marching round, and the thing that you've been told is, shut up. Don't say a word. And you're looking at your friend, and have you ever been in a situation where you just want to say something? You might want to say, this is exciting. This is useless. What's the point of us doing? And, oh no, I mustn't say a word. You gather together, you can't say hello. You finish, you can't say goodbye. Absolute silence. And for someone like me, I think that would drive me to distraction. But the fact remains, that was what they were required to do. And I asked myself the question, why did God demand the silence? And the answer I got was because when you're silent, you're in listening mode. When you're silent, it gives God the opportunity to connect with you. When you're silent, you can hear the still small whisper. When you're silent, you're able to be open to what heaven wants to declare. And there are times when we need to be those who sit in silence. I try to make sure that I create the environment where, for me, because I have to work at it, that I give God the space to speak to me in the silence. But alongside that, we see that the other key incident here was that in the midst of the marching was the evidence of the presence of God. As they were taking this journey round the city, they weren't doing it simply in isolation, but God was amongst them. The presence of God was there. And again, for us, if we're going to break through the barriers in our lives, We have to understand that not only must we partner with God and prepare the way for God to move, because that was all part and parcel of what they were doing. They were preparing the way for a miracle to come. And in that preparation, as they were taking this march, there was the evidence of the presence of God. It was evident because the Ark of the Covenant was there amongst them being carried. The Ark of the Covenant was a physical demonstration of the presence of God being amongst them. In breaching the barriers in your lives, one, you need to understand that you may be required to prepare the way. God might tell you that there is something that you have got to do in order that you might prepare for the miracle to come. But also to recognize you are not in this on your own. If you've come to accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, His presence is with you. In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the temptation, His presence is there. In the silence, sense His presence. In that moment, walk in the knowledge that He is walking with you. Be aware of the fact that He is there to carry you through into victory. But then we go on to see how that in our lives, as we come to breach the barriers, it's important to be persistent. Do you ever feel like giving up? Certainly in my own life, there have been times when I've found it to be such a struggle in certain aspects that I have felt I want to give up. One particular incident I can think of very early on in my days of church leadership, I wanted to give up, wanted to walk away. But you see, what was needed was persistence. God calls us not to be successful, He calls us to be faithful. Faithfulness requires persistence. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote such amazing words. I have run the race. I have finished the course. Now there's laid up for me a crown of glory. Going back to these people, the first day they walk round the walls. I don't know how long it took them to journey round the walls. There might have been a whole series of mixed emotions, but there was a sense in which probably was an element of excitement. There was a sense of, I wonder what God's going to do. I wonder what's going to happen. Nothing shifts. Day two, nothing shifts. Day three, nothing shifts. Day four, nothing shifts. Day five, nothing shifts. Day six, nothing shifts. By now, my suspicion would be, if they're anything like me, come on, at least give me a clue. At least tell me there's something happening. We've been doing this. We don't see the point of it. It's been really aggravating because we haven't been able to say anything. And nothing's shifting. Nothing's moving. And tomorrow, we've got to do this march 7 times. Come on. I want to sit down and have a cup of tea. 7 times in silence. And so the day arrives and off we go again. First time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time. Nothing's shifted. At any point of that time of marching, they said, nothing shifted. I'm giving up. I'm going home. The barrier would have remained, the promise would have been unfulfilled, and the advancement would not have taken place. For some of you, you are at a point where you are thinking, I want to give up. It's been a struggle. You've been marching in one sense, and you're getting tired, and you're feeling as you're trying to struggle with breaching this barrier that nothing is shifting. God is not at work. Nothing seems to be happening. It just seems as though you're going through the motions. Sometimes even in church, it can feel a bit like this. We're meeting week by week. Nothing seems to be shifting. Nothing seems to be happening. We're just going through the motions. God doesn't seem to be doing anything. No miracles are taking place. I want to give up. But there are those who have given up, and having given up, they have missed the moment of their miracle. They've missed the moment of their breakthrough. They've missed the moment when the shift was about to come. Being conscious of time, I want to very quickly give you the last two points without expanding on them. After persistence, there needs to be the pronouncement of victory. That's what the shout was all about. This was a declaration. Even though there had been no shift seen, even up to that point, that was the moment when the shout of faith came. This barrier is not gone, but we are declaring to heaven, and we're declaring to ourselves, and we are declaring to the enemy, the victory is ours, the barrier is removing, the miracle is coming. The moment that happened, the walls tumbled, and they were able to progress into taking new territory, seeing God's hand of deliverance, and advancing into the further promises of God. May you discover how to breach the barriers in your life as you take these steps that bring you the victory and the miracle that you are looking for. May God bless you. So, Lord, thank you. Your love breaks barriers. I pray that as we continue to advance in our life and our walk with you, that those barriers the enemy erects to try to stop us from marching on into all that you want to give to us, that you will help us to be able to see them broken in Jesus' name. For every individual struggling, every individual who is in a battle, every individual who is looking for breakthrough, may you give them that in the name of Jesus. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all now and forevermore. Amen.